It's just so funny how you didn't expect this. You deserve all the shit that's coming. Heart thudding. Why are you running? Nowhere to hide. Extra, extra. We be the fucking extra. Read, read, read all about us. Read. Read all about us. Read
all about us.
Making headlines.
Making headlines.
We coming in fleets. We be rolling deep.
We be rolling deep.
Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial.
Turn your ass into a vegetable. Extraterrestrial. Extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial. Orders to vaporize. Whether it's dark or light, hit everything in sight.
Break you off in a piece. I can come without a piece. All humans are a leech.
All humans are a leech.
Come here to deceit. Preach.
Preach.
God put you on a leash. Now meet your defeat.
We come here to harm you.
Welcome, everyone, to A Voyage Through Film. I'm Daniel. We got my boy, Mikey Mark.
Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? And then we got my boy, Joshy Baby.
What in the fuck was that?
And we're going to be taking you through the highlights and the lowlights of Hollywood. And we're pretty much done cleaning out this vault, guys. I don't know if you knew.
There's a lot left.
Funny thing about that.
In the vault.
I think we have a higher number now than when we started this. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I just keep buying movies on accident. So you look at these are all new additions over here.
Oh, okay.
Fucking hell.
For the
me.
Listener at home, Mark just pointed to a stack of 4Ks.
Yeah, Mark just pointed to 3 movies.
It's like 20 movies.
I think it's like 20, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And so that's the thing about the vault, is that he just keeps adding to it, so it's really a never-ending vault.
Yeah. Well, so, I meant we're like finished with our cleaning session. We're not going to be cleaning this a whole fucking time, all right? No. That's what I mean.
This is the new podcast. We just keep watching my movies.
Welcome back to
What's
Mark's
in the vault?
Vault. Yeah. What's in the vault?
You can never leave.
I think we're almost done. No!
No!
We just bought a full.
Yeah.
There's a wheelbarrow full of movies.
Yeah, right. I know, right?
But funny thing, found a severed head in there. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I hold it up and I go, what is this? And then Josh immediately didn't miss a beat, says, bring me that head of Alfredo Garcia. And that's what we're doing, baby. Bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia.
This man will become an animal. This woman's dreams of love will be destroyed.
I've been here before. You don't know the way.
Innocent people will suffer.
Without Alfredo's help, we can do anything, honey.
Holy ground will be desecrated.
You don't want me to be part of that, do you?
You are a part of it.
25 people will die.
Just being together, it's enough.
No, it's not, baby.
Bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia.
Yes!
Joshy, nice. Baby, you can't get enough of Sam Peckinpah.
Sam Bloody Sam is back.
Oh,
I'm so excited to do this movie with you guys. This movie is very special to me. And I feel like to Sam Peckinpah, I mean, rest in peace, but it was a very important film to him. Super personal. I mean, everything about it, from like Warren Oates' getup, like the sunglasses and shit, like that's what Sam Peckinpah just looked like. That's how he dressed. To just like, I don't know, just the whole like fever dream, grit, sweaty, sunny, neo-Western, neo-noir, like... yeah, I fucking love this movie. I'm so excited to talk about it with you guys. Nice. I saw a beautiful Blu-ray of it.
Yeah, no, I had the... This was kind of a hard movie for me to find.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering how you guys were going to watch this. Yeah.
I had to go to the internet movie... Or is it like... It's...
Movie archives?
Is it like internet movie archives or some shit like that?
Yeah.
And they only had... What was it? They had subtitles, but they were only in Spanish. So all the Spanish being spoken, I have no idea what they were saying. And like the first 10 minutes is all in Spanish.
Oh, nice.
So well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And actually, I think there's very little of the Spanish that's actually subtitled. So it kind of.
Yeah, right. Not yeah, a lot of things are just like speaking Spanish.
Yeah, it's not a very different experience, actually. Most of the Spanish dialogue, you're just like, if you don't speak Spanish, you're just like, I have no idea what's going on.
But Daniel prefers the subtitles.
Yeah, I love subtitles. In English, anyway. I was very upset with these subtitles.
Yeah, it was tough.
The movie's in English, and then they have Spanish subtitles, and I was like, that's not what I want, all right?
Did you look further, or you just accepted it right away?
I mean, I just did a quick Google, and like everywhere, like Amazon, like a lot of the big things, I don't have Roku. They said Apple TV had it, but it wasn't on there.
Roku's free.
Oh. Well,
oh yeah, I never understood Roku. It's like all these movies, they just have ads or something.
So you watch Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
Ah, that's how?
Oh, okay. That's the only way to watch that?
Well, it's coming to 4K actually soon.
So, shit. Back in the vault.
Yeah, wait, no! Mark, stop buying movies.
Yeah, Mark, stop it. Buy 4Ks that you've seen in 4K. Jesus.
Watch them.
Watch them.
Just put them on the shelf. How was your Blu-ray of this, though, Mark?
It was great. It was Region B, so I had to use a special Blu-ray player to watch it.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
That's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a little nice little niche, little, I don't know, little special. It goes in the special Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
The region-free one.
That's cool that you are so committed that you bought a region-free Blu-ray player. Because I've always, like,
hell yeah, well,
there's certain movies that I find on Amazon, I'm like, it's only region B. Well, I'm like, what is this nonsense? Like, yeah. Moving on.
It is funny you say that because I bought like a stack of movies from Arrow and then I realized I couldn't watch them. So then I bought the Blu-ray player. So
that's why. You're like, I'm not returning these. I'm doubling down.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I'm not going to give up.
They sent it to me in the mail and I realized it was all reels of 16 millimeter. So I bought a 16 millimeter projector. I learned how to thread it up. And I'm projecting everything on 16 millimeter this week.
Let's go. That's how it is.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah, no, mine looked great. Pretty clean, actually.
Yeah, it was clean.
For such a gritty film. So if you can, definitely try to get the Blu-ray.
Yeah, no, I got the grit. All the grit you guys took out, let's put into my version.
Green.
Nice.
Looked like shit. But hey, you know what? It was free. I heard you guys talking that it might not be that well received, this movie, but hey.
Hey.
Josh said that, yeah.
It got a 78% on that tomato meter there.
Oh, that's actually nice. Pretty good.
Yeah. 85% audience.
You say 80s audience?
85, yeah.
85.
Wow. I wonder, based on how many reviews, like 7?
It's like over 5,000 audience.
Wow.
And then I will 32. Say, I
mean, it's a cult movie, for sure. I think it wasn't well received when it came out. And I think it took a while for people to like warm up to it. But it definitely has a cult reputation now. I mean, Roger Deakins famously used it as inspiration. Visual inspiration for No Country for Old Men, as along with like Wild Bunch and like other Peckinpah stuff. He's like a big Peckinpah fan and he always references this one. He's like, oh yeah, bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia. Oh, I love that one. It's just like got such a brilliant kind of like sunny look, you know what I mean?
It's such like a show offy title.
It's the best title ever.
No, it is a pretty crazy title.
It's the best. It rings right off the tongue. And I mean, you kind of know what you're in for just based on the title.
It gives away the plot, but not so much that like it's ruining anything.
For sure. It's just like when you tell somebody, you're like, hey, have you ever seen Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia? They're just like, no, but I need to. Like, that's what it does. Just on the title alone, it's just like, I remember reading that title and I was like, is this made for me? Like, I didn't even know what it was about. Also, I love really wordy titles that work. I feel like, you know, there's certain ones, Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb is a good one. Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia has to be up there with, like, wordy titles that just hit, man.
Also, IMDb gave it a 7.4.
Ooh. Okay, so everyone's on the same page, kind of.
Yeah.
We can all agree this movie is good.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes it is.
And they also describe it as an American barroom pianist and his prostitute girlfriend go on a trip through the Mexican underworld to collect a bounty on the head of a dead gigolo.
I don't know if he's a gigolo.
Yeah, wait.
Clearly he is. You heard what he said,
right? I don't know who wrote that. What IMDb member. Can you read that? Who wrote that, Daniel? What's the name? The IMDb member?
You're about to get called out, son.
What the fuck?
I don't think Alfredo was a gigolo. I mean, he impregnates the girl, and he was with Benny's prostitute girlfriend before they had a relationship and were apparently in love. There's actually a lot of parallels between Benny and Alfredo, but I don't know if he was a gigolo. It took me a while to realize that she was even a prostitute the first time I watched this.
That took me a while.
Once he starts,
took one look at her.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, that's just you assuming all women are prostitutes, Mark.
Oh, no.
Because you hate women and children. Oh, wow. But like I said, directed by Sam Peckinpah.
Sam bloody fucking
Sam. Then we got Gordon T. Dawson, Sam Peckinpah, and Frank Kowalski as the writers.
A lot of writers.
All right.
Yeah, Peckinpah, I think he liked to write, but he also liked to have other people write. And I think it's actually an interesting story about how this one came, because Frank Kowalski was just like, hey, I got an idea for a movie. Bring me the head of something. And Peckinpah was like, sweet, write it.
Yes.
He's like, sounds like a dope title.
All right, cool. Got a little cast here. Got Warren Oates as Benny.
Yes.
No. Yeah, what's he? He's in Oates. Wild Bunch, right?
Yes, he is in Wild Bunch.
But what else is he in? He does look familiar. But I don't think he's like a lead very often.
No, he's not. And Warren Oates is kind of like a 70s legend, but barely got any starring roles, and he was in a lot of like low budget stuff, but he was kind of big in the 70s. And this, The Wild Bunch, a movie called Two-Lane Blacktop, he plays Dillinger in this in the 1970s movie Dillinger, directed by John Milius, who did Conan the Barbarian. Dillinger with Warren Oates. He's also in Stripes.
Who would you compare him to today?
Who would I compare Warren Oates to today? I don't know. I feel like that's what's so amazing about watching like these very specifically 70s actors is that they just don't exist anymore. Like, because he's not very like good looking. He doesn't have like the classic leading man movie stardom, but he's got the gravitas for sure.
Yeah.
Like he's got this like amazing face. Amazing voice, just amazing presence overall. He can just like be funny. He can be like brutal. I don't know. Like, I mean, who has that nowadays?
John C. Reilly?
No way. John C. Reilly? John C. Who's like, who's like a not great looking, but very masculine genre actor today. Like, they don't really exist.
Vin Diesel?
Maybe Vin Diesel. I could see that. I could see some. But Vin Diesel's so flat, you know?
Yeah, no.
I feel like the best thing about...
he's definitely not as good an actor as...
Warren Oates. He's also in Stripes with Bill Murray.
Yeah, okay.
He died young. He died when he was, like, 53. Yeah, his reputation definitely has just gone up so much over the years where, like, people look back on those movies and they're like, fucking Warren Oates was such a special actor. And Sam Peckinpah obviously loved him. And I feel like giving him the lead in this was a big deal because it's like Sam Peckinpah was pretty well known, pretty well established by this point. Like, he had had flops and stuff, but I'm sure he could have picked like a more known actor, or he could have like, but he was like, no, like, this is fucking for Warren Oates. Like, he's got to fucking lead this.
I mean, I heard it wasn't his first choice.
Really? What was his first choice?
It was someone else that, like, I hadn't really heard of, but I think that Peckinpah had worked with several times.
Interesting. Yeah, he's amazing. There's an amazing Richard Linklater quote. He was giving his best reasons for why people should watch Tulane Blacktop. And he was like, one of the reasons is because there was once a god who walked this earth, and his name was Warren Oates. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That's the type of legacy he has. Like, Linklater thinks he's a fucking god. Because he is, man. He's so good. And this, I mean, this has got to be his best performance. He has another movie where he's like a cockfighter. That's pretty wild. I started watching it.
What?
Didn't get through it. But yeah, Warren Oates. Man, yeah, what a special dude. He's in The Shooting, which is like the OG acid western 1966 with Jack Nicholson. He's in The Heat of the Night. Cockfighter. It was the same year. It was just called Cockfighter.
Cockfighter.
That's what it was called? Cockfighter?
Cockfighter.
Wow. Right on the nose, aren't they?
Directed by Monty Hellman, who also directed The Shooting and Tulane Blacktop. So he was another Warren Oates filmmaker who really saw something special in him and gave him lead roles.
Oh, yeah. Warren?
Warren
Rest
Oates.
In peace.
Rest in peace.
Ooh. Then we have Josh's girl, Zella Vega. plays yeah, the love great. Interest of Benny.
She's incredible. I love her. I guess she's like a Mexican actress and like singer.
I would say it's like one of the stronger woman parts that I've seen in a Peckinpah movie, but I just don't think Sam Peckinpah gives good women parts.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean,
it's like you're either this prostitute or you're gonna get your arm broken or get fucking elbowed in the mouth.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a theme in Peckinpah's movies. But I think Peckinpah was, you know, that was definitely on purpose. I mean, as fucked up as that sounds, I guess, but I think he's trying to make a point usually in his movies that. It's not a safe place for women, these worlds that he's building, because of how they're ran by men and the men are not very sympathetic to the women. So then in turn, the movie seems like it's not very sympathetic to women. But I feel like that was just the reality of like these worlds that he was trying to build kind of uncompromisingly. So it's not easy to be a woman in these worlds. Certainly not in this one.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like there's like he like is part of his worldview and reality is kind of bleeding into it. If all of his movies have that same kind of theme,
yeah, I mean, he loved prostitutes. Like, I mean, we did our whole I did my like little Sam Peckinpah, you know, dissertation on our Wild Bunch episode that you can go back and listen to. But he was outspokenly loved prostitutes. And so there's a lot of prostitute characters in his movies. But he loved him. And he also loved Mexico. Like, I feel like you could say the same thing about Mexico, where like he just makes it look like the shittiest place ever. But
this whole movie was filmed in Mexico, right?
Yeah. The whole thing was filmed in Mexico. Yeah.
It's kind of like a fuck you to Hollywood.
Yeah, he could do whatever the fuck he wanted in Mexico. He loved Mexico. He loved going and getting drunk. Yeah, I feel like... It's true that all his movies definitely do like have the Peckinpah philosophy written all over them. But this one somehow seems like the most Peckinpah.
We also got Robert Webber. Oh, Robbie Webbs. Yeah,
that's one of like the two guys that like hire him initially.
Yeah.
Then the Bounty Hunters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I like the other guy.
Yeah. You talking about Gig Young?
Yeah.
Gig Young.
he like doesn't say much. He's just like, I don't know. He looks really happy whenever he's killing people though.
Yeah. Nah. He's great. Yeah, because he's the guy with the Tommy gun, isn't he?
Yeah, so he gets to have fun with the Tommy gun, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
of course he's smiling.
Dude, both those guys are so fucking creepy.
He reminded me of that one of the guys from Wild Bunch. I don't know if he was in that too, but...
Like one of the old guys?
I mean, it's like Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, he looks like Ernest Borgnine. He's
got that face. He's got those cheeks.
Ernest Borgnine. Yeah, right. Yeah. Ernie. Yeah,
no, speaking of Wild Bunch, because we also got Emilio Fernandez,
yes.
Who was the boss.
Yes.
And he's also, isn't he like, who is he?
He's also the general.
Yeah, like the
Wild
general.
Bunch.
Yeah.
The Wild Bunch. That's like the guy that like says, bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia.
Yeah.
Yes. That guy.
That guy, I think he was like one of the main producers of this movie as well.
Yeah, he's actually one of the most prolific film directors of the golden age of Mexican cinema in the 40s and 50s. He was a filmmaker. Yeah, he was like a known filmmaker in Mexico. And Peckinpah just like nice. Loved him and loved to cast him. Because he was just so insanely like, he just bodied that like, that vibe. Just like the jefe, like masculine, no nonsense vibe. Apparently he just like was that guy too. Like this guy was like in and out of jail, like loved to shoot guns, like he's just a wild fucking dude. And he's so good, man. But his face is so pretty.
We got one more on there.
Oh yeah, we got a little cameo from our boy Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah.
pre-convoy
Kris. He's in the worst movie. You know him from Convoy, the worst movie Sam Peckinpah ever made.
Whoa.
Watch your fucking mouth.
I don't know, man.
The film's a national treasure.
That's my least favorite one that I've seen so far from him, for sure.
10
by a lot.
4 Rubber Ducky.
10-4 Rubber Ducky.
I love Convoy.
We got a big old convoy. So great. Love
oh
Convoy.
My god, that's
love
so funny. Chris. My homie Ralph was singing that song. He's like, we were just listening to this Convoy song, and I was like, from the movie Convoy. And he's like, I don't know,
no,
I don't,
wait,
I don't
why?
Know what that like, what is that movie? And I was like, was it like, we got a big old car? He's like, yeah, that's the one. And I was like, why the fuck were you listening to that? And he's why? Like, I don't know, it just came up on Spotify.
Like, what? We think you'd like the song Convoy. What the hell are you listening to?
That's great.
Oh, it's so
Spotify
good.
With the W again.
It's so funny, too, that like I feel like everyone, all the men in this movie are so awful. And
yeah.
Pretty, like, not very attractive either. Kris Kristofferson is, like, a beautiful man. But he plays, like, just an awful, like, rapist. It's just like...
Yeah.
That's what a proposition for Kris Kristofferson from Peckinpah. Like, hey, dude, you want to come down to Mexico? I got this small part for you where you almost rape someone. And he's like,
yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Anything for you, Sam.
Let me saddle up. And just for Joshy Baby, we got the cinematographer. Yeah. Alex Philippe Jr., or Phillips Jr., I should say. Thought that was an E. But Alex Phillips Jr.
So random, right? I guess he was like a Mexican DP or something.
Yeah. That's like literally all they have about him.
Yeah, I don't
know. Oh, he did Never Ending Story.
No way.
No, he didn't. I don't know. I've never fucking heard of him. I don't know where you find this. I can't even see it on IMDb.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can't even find his name.
He did. He was the second unit for camera and electrical department in Total Recall.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, I mean, like the movie looks good, and like it definitely has like the Peckinpah flair. So I'm assuming like Peckinpah probably has a lot to say of what the cinematographer is ending up shooting.
Yeah, and it definitely does. I mean, it's got the way he covers the violence is like classic Peckinpah, right? With the slow mo and stuff. But it definitely does have a grit to it that I feel like isn't so apparent in his other movies. I feel like his other movies are, well, I mean, definitely The Wild Bunch. I would say this and The Wild Bunch has like the grittiest, sweatiest cinematography like probably ever. And the fact that everything is so harshly sunlit just looks like kind of amateurish for a little bit in some scenes where you're like, did you guys even try to light this? But then when you think about it, you're like, this is so purposeful. And you can't really imagine the movie without hard, hard key light the whole time. Just to make everything bright and sweaty and harsh. I love the cinematography in this. I actually realized this time watching it, because I've seen this movie like 4 or 5 times, just how beautiful the compositions are. Like I never really clocked it, but I was watching it last night and Scott was like, every shot is fucking beautiful. And I was like, you know, it kind of is. Like the compositions are dope in this movie. I just always like get lost in the sweat, but it's like, it's actually a really well shot film. Good job, Alex.
Good job, Alex.
You did it.
But it's was that it or was there more?
Yeah,
that's it.
All right, thanks for listening. That was Alfredo Garcia. All
right, we're out of here.
All right, well, let's get into it, baby.
Well, I think just to prime us really quick, I think it's fun to just talk about a little bit about where Sam Peckinpah was when he was making this, because he had just made a movie called Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, also with Kris Kristofferson.
That looks cool. Yeah. I was looking at that too, actually.
It looks really cool. Apparently the studio like mangled it and just fucked it up completely to the point where he disowned it like immediately. There's actually like a legend has it that he went to like a studio screening of it and just like walked to the front to the screen and just started peeing on the screen as the movie was playing.
Oh my God.
And I don't, like, even if that's not true, I feel like that just says so much about like Sam Peckinpah's reputation that's even like a myth that he peed on his own movie in front of like studio heads. He was so sick of getting fucked by like studios and stuff. And he was just like feeling super disenchanted by Hollywood and just like filmmaking process that he went off to Mexico to make this like weird ass fucking movie. And he just got to make it the way he wanted. I mean, he's gone on record saying, this is the only movie that I've ever made without any studio interference. The only one, nice. Which is, it's strange to think. One of the things I love about Sam Peckinpah is that although he's such an auteur and every movie by him is very clearly directed by him, he has such a distinct style. He was like a director for hire. Like he rarely got to do kind of passion projects that he like built from the ground up. It was usually he was like handed a script and like do this movie and he'd be like, okay. And then he would make it like very personal to him, make it like a passion project. But it was really rare that he would actually like develop a movie from the ground up, because he was always in director's jail. And he was famously really hard to work with too. He would like fire people all the time. Like they would shoot a lot. And I guess one of Peckinpah's things was that he never showed up prepared to shoot. Like he didn't have storyboards. He didn't have like, he didn't know like what angles he wanted to get when. And so he would just show up and like be figuring things out. So if anyone like questioned him, he would just get so angry. Or like if someone like, if the camera operator ever like stopped shooting and they were like, oh, sorry, like the guy went out of frame, we're gonna have to redo that. Sam would be like, I tell you when to fucking turn it off. You don't say when to turn the fucking camera off. Get off my set, like get on a bus and go home. Or like he like called out the camera operator on this movie And then the operator was so nervous that he couldn't operate, and he just had to leave.
Jesus.
Yeah, apparently, like, he thrived on chaos. He liked the kind of, he liked to, like, go in chaotically and then figure something out from there. And so the way to do that is to keep everyone off balance because he's so off balance.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? So, like, you just have to keep everyone on their toes. If anyone's like, what are we doing? He's just like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm making this fucking movie, you know? And so he thrived on this kind of chaotic thing. But actors actually loved to work with him because he was very, very sympathetic to his lead actors. Very, very sympathetic. Love, like, would work very closely with his leads. The extras and stuff, maybe not so much.
You can go fuck yourself.
You can go fuck yourself. But, but yeah, so he made this movie, and then it comes out, and it's bombed. I mean, it's in 1978. It's in a book of, like, 50 worst films of all time.
Yeah, I saw that.
All of the main publications at the time slammed it, like, one of the worst films, like, doesn't make any sense. Someone who did not slam it, though, immediately, Roger Ebert.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Reviewed it in 1974 when it came out. 4 stars from Roger Ebert. Called it
nice.
A weird, horrifying film that somehow transcends its unlikely material. The movie is some kind of bizarre masterpiece. It's probably not a movie that most people would like, but violence with Peckinpah sometimes becomes a psychic ballet. I mean, he just gets it. Like,
nice, hell yeah.
It's a hallucination. It's a fever dream. It's wild. It's violent. But through all that, it's poetic. And I think there's actually some really interesting, like, philosophical nihilism going on. As mentioned before, Roger Deakins loves this movie. S. Craig Zahler loves this movie. It's definitely gained reputation in later years.
Hell yeah, let's do it. Let's get in it.
Let's get in it. So I think you just have to start by talking about the, like, setup before we even meet Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's part one for me is, like, El Jefe with his daughter after she finds out that she's pregnant, tears her clothes off, breaks her arm, has his goons, like, break her arm.
Like, slowly.
Puts a bounty on Alfredo Garcia's head, who has impregnated his daughter. And then we follow these bounty hunters traveling around looking for this guy. And then it basically gets us to Benny.
Yeah, I like the opening. I liked the guy that was doing the El Jefe guy. I like that guy. I thought he gave the line reading well of the bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia.
He's so good, dude.
Yeah, and I mean, it just sets the tone, too. It's like, so basically, like, I only took, like, so many notes. I ended up just writing down every time a woman is, like, beat up or abused, basically.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So I have 20 pages of notes.
I know, right? Only every time a woman gets hit. Yeah. Which happens,
like, every time it's, like, so jarring. I'm like, geez, I should write that down, I guess. He breaks his own pregnant daughter's arm. What the hell?
Yeah. That was
after
brutal.
Like the most serene, like, lake pond moment that she was having.
She's just chilling on the lake.
Yeah.
Some ducks.
And she's like, come.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that lady was. Was that her mom or something?
It's like a maid or something.
Who knows?
It's like the help. And, like, yeah, dude. Well, I mean, as soon as they tear her shirt off, I was just like, what the fuck?
I don't know. What's going on here? I mean,
if you're going to give up the name after your arm gets broken, you might as well have just given the name up.
Right. I don't understand.
Like, it's over now.
No. Right. I mean,
or
clearly
just not.
She knew that, you know, by giving up the name, he was just going to try to kill him. So I guess she was.
But, like, she didn't even seem to have, like, that deep of a emotional connection to him.
No.
The guy's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck him. He's just the father of your unborn child. Who cares?
I mean, and he's gone. He ran off.
Yeah.
And he's a gigolo.
Yeah, he's a gigolo. He's nothing but low down gigolo.
He's not a gigolo. I don't know who the fuck wrote that.
I'm just a gigolo.
Or maybe he was.
Everywhere I go.
But yeah, I was just, oh man, I love the way it sets up. It's such a strange, setup.
And then I like the intro of Benny.
Yes.
At first, it doesn't seem like he's going to be like the main guy. Yeah. It seems like these guys, these like bounty hunters are going to be the guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you're like going with. And then.
Yeah. No, I feel like one of the brilliant things about this movie's script is just how it defies expectations constantly. And it has like a pretty classical setup. Guy needs to go find a guy and get money. It's definitely like a classical hero's journey in that sense. You know, you meet him in his world, he goes out, but it's constantly just fucking with your expectations. Just like you said, in the very beginning, it's almost setting up like the bounty hunters are the main guys. Like now they're going off on their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet Benny at the piano and you just know as soon as you see him singing Guantanamera with the locals.
And what's like, going on in this place too? Like what is this place? Is it like a brothel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why the girls are just automatically all over these guys.
Oh yeah.
And then these guys are gay or something. They just fucking elbow the girl that tries to touch his dick.
Yes. I think so.
My boy don't want the clap. That's why. So get your stinky pussy away from me, girl.
Yeah, I can't blame him there, I guess.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. Especially since later Benny's like picking crabs out of his pubes.
Yeah, yeah, that was unsettling.
It's so good.
I didn't like that.
That was hilarious.
Well, we'll get there. When he, I feel like, yes, you just touched on a great point, which is that the two main bounty hunters are definitely either just closeted and like with each other or just super repressed gay. And it's like coming out in like unnecessary. Like, why the fuck would he elbow that lady? And she was out
fucking
too.
Knocked her out. Yeah. Like people thought she was dead.
That's definitely the first like what the fuck moment. And I love that they just carry her out too. Yeah. They just pick her up and she's like unconscious. it's such a good intro.
Those guys don't give a fuck.
No.
Yeah, they just like put $100 in this thing. They're like, we need an information about this guy.
Yeah.
Alfredo Garcia.
I love that. And he's like, yeah, he's just an old friend. I love the dialogue there. Because they're like not explicitly saying it, but they're just saying like, yeah, we need to kill him. And like,
oh yeah, no. Yeah. He was like, everyone, dead or alive, huh? And he was like, just dead.
Dead, yeah.
So good. Bring you the head. I know. It's also, it's so obvious that everyone in that bar knows who Alfredo Garcia is. as soon as they walk in, everyone's like, no, I don't know. Shit. Yeah. That brings us perfectly into part two, which is actually takes a while, and it's just like Benny and the girl, what's her name in the movie, I can't even remember, Isela.
I feel like part two is like, yeah, they Alita? Like kind of like they like reunite, and have they had like an on again off again relationship?
Yeah, I was curious what you guys thought about their relationship, because it's definitely not very clear. I mean, I think that they have been together on again off again for sure. I mean, he obviously works at a brothel, she's a prostitute, so they're both like in the same industry, same town.
Yeah,
he thought of her immediately. He's like, hey, you know Alfredo Garcia? That was your old lover, and she's like, oh yeah, I knew he was. He's dead. So already you're like, Alfredo Garcia's dead. So it already takes some of the tension out of his mission. But he's got to go get the body or get his head.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed once I heard he was dead already.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a disappointing beat when you're like geared up for him to go find this guy.
He probably should have saved that until later, like when they go to his village and then they're like, yeah, we'll show you Alfredo, and then they just show him his grave like that.
But once he hears that he's dead, he's like, all right, well, I'm just going to go buy the biggest fucking machete I can find.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that thing was huge.
And I'm just going to cut his head off if he's dead already. Let's go find his body.
Oh, so good. And yeah, he basically, he takes the job. He goes over to like the gangsters, like they've got like an apartment set up somewhere. It's like a classic 70s like gangster apartment.
Yeah,
where they're like doing business and eating hard-boiled eggs like weirdos. And he takes the job for like 10 grand.
Yeah, yeah, right. And they're offering a million.
Yeah. They're offering a million.
Like they're offering a million, like the main guy is offering that to like these bounty hunters, yeah, right. But he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know that. He knows that it's probably a lot more than 10 grand just by the looks of things. But he takes the...
Don't they even offer him, like, much less than that at first? Like, $1,000?
They do. Yeah. They're like, oh, you know where he is? Go find him. Like, we'll give you $1,000. And he's like, 10 G's. And they're like, okay. And he's like, I need $5,000 up front. And the guy's like, give him 200.
Yeah, what the fuck?
He just breaks off 200.
I mean, they've got, like, a whole operation. They've got, like, guys on, like, weird, like, radios or... Like, whatever the fuck you'd have as a computer back then or something.
Yeah, damn. It's very strange.
There's one douchebag just talking shit to Benny the whole time.
Yeah, the guy gets it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all clocking him
hard.
This
guy sounds like a fucking loser.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I love it. It's such a standoff. I feel like every scene with Benny and those guys is just, like, such a standoff. Like, you're just waiting for them to fucking... They know that they're ready to fucking throw down at any point. But Benny's
so
got
like
the,
after this, it turns into like a road trip movie.
Yes, exactly. The weirdest, strangest road trip.
Yeah, this is
kind of
like
been on
one of my picking nits. I mean,
uh-huh. This one of your nits.
I don't know. This like half hour like was the worst half hour of the movie. I think
when they're on the road.
Yeah, like, I could do with like half that, like double time this.
Okay, so basically, all right, so let's break it down. So they go on the road, they're drinking tequila in like a convertible, like they don't give a fuck. They pull over and basically confess their love to each other. It's actually kind of the most amazing scene in the whole movie is when she's like, oh, are you going to marry me? And then he's like, yeah, I'll marry you. Like, you want to marry me? And she just starts crying. And she's like, yeah. Yeah, I'll marry you. After he tells her why he's doing it, too. Because at first she doesn't know, yeah. Right? He's like, oh, you got to take me to Alfredo Garcia. And she's like, okay. And then later on, he's like, yeah, like people are looking for him. We're about to get paid out. This is going to change our lives. I'm getting out. You know what I mean? We can run away together. And she's just like, oh, no. This is not what I thought at all. I thought we were going on a fun road trip. You're going to, dig someone's grave and turn it in for cash? And I feel like the tragedy of her realizing that this was her life is just so beautifully done in that scene. And by her performance, the ways that she cries, the way that she asks him, like, will you marry me? It's like her realizing, yeah, she probably does love Benny. But she probably realizes also that this is the best man that she'll ever get. And he's not that great, you know? So it's like realizing how like, sad the cards that you've been dealt are, but then also accepting them and loving them is this kind of
I guess.
The theme.
But they're also like taking a jump from like fuck buddies to get like now she wants to get married.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really buy it.
I mean, how long do you think they've been together?
Like 2 days. Yeah.
No, they've been together longer than that, I think. I think they've had a relationship.
They have some chemistry, but like it didn't seem like even if like I think they had just like hooked up when they hang out and get drunk.
Okay.
Like, I didn't think it was anything like that deep or like they're going to get married now.
We didn't even touch on the best scene, which is when they wake up in his apartment. And he picks crabs out of his pubes.
I mean, we did touch on that.
Begrudgingly,
you did mention it, yeah.
He throws liquor on it, and he's like, God damn it. And then he comes back.
I didn't like that.
And he, I didn't like, he twists his towel up, And you know what he's going to do with that.
Oh, yeah. I did have that written down. Yeah, he starts whipping her, and then he pulls her off the bed, and she, like, fucking somersaults off the bed. Like, through a fucking side table.
Yeah, the crash was the loudest thing in that scene.
That looks like it was, like, accidental, and they just left it in the movie.
It definitely looked accidental. It's so fucked up. It's so unexpected. Yeah, I know, he whips her butt with that towel three times. But, you know, she's laughing. She's liking it.
Levantate.
No, I mean, I feel like they have a relationship established. Maybe they're not, maybe they haven't been, like, steady. I mean, she's a prostitute. But I feel like it's established that, like, she spends the night, like, all the time.
Yeah, she's slept at his house. Might as well marry her.
Yeah. That's how that works.
They love each other, Mark. You know that whole section of the movie that you hate? This is the whole section where they're showing you that they love each other.
Yeah, I mean, sure. The rape part is crazy.
Yeah, let's jump to that part. So,
nah, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, because you're kind of wondering the whole time. You're like, where the fuck is this movie going, and why is it so slow? But then,
yeah, and then all of a sudden, and you hear it faint in the distance. We got a big old convoy.
It happens out of the blue. It's not set up like at all. These two biker outlaw guys roll up out of nowhere. It's Kris Kristofferson in all his glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is anybody ever ready for Kris Kristofferson? I mean, come on.
Oh, it's such a, like, intense scene. He starts, like, playing with her hair. He asks her to sing a song. She sings it. This is some of the best dialogue and, I think, world building, because she says, you know, Benny's like, what the fuck? All right. And she accepts it immediately.
Yeah.
Because you know that this has happened to her before. I mean, not only is she a sex worker, but she's probably been raped. And for her, the best way to accept that is to not put up a fight, is to actually lean into it, because or else it'll get very ugly. And she tells Benny, she has a great line where she's like, I've been down this road before, like, you don't know, like, I got it. And she fucking walks off with him. It's so strange.
Yeah, someone who's so like saying like yeah, okay, yeah, let's get married. Oh, yeah, no worries. I'm just going to go fuck this rapist real quick. Just give me a minute.
I mean,
it's like, I don't know. Put up a little bit more of a fight or something. I don't know. That was weird, I thought.
It's very weird. But, I mean, doesn't it make sense, though? Why would you put up a fight? Just
if you put up a fight, that's how people get shot.
Yeah. She didn't want to get fucking slashed.
They already had guns out.
But, like, they left and went away.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, he just goes and sits down. Like, she could have just ran away. Like, back to him, and then it's 2-on-1.
I mean, but they had guns on them.
Yeah, they had guns, though. Both of them had guns.
He didn't even have
Benny
a gun
has a
yet.
Gun, too. He was fucking just shooting it out of the fucking window at a pig or something earlier.
That's was waiting, right!
Yeah, Benny did not whip out his pistol. I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, they don't know you.
I don't know. Like, I get, like, what this scene was kind of trying to do, but I felt like there was a better way to do this in reality.
I feel like it's so strange. It's such a bizarre way to play that scene, for sure. Could not agree more. But it makes sense in the characters, in the world that he's built. And, I mean, that's why she has that line. She's like, I've been down this road before. Like, it's okay. And you can see it in her performance. That's why, to me, her performance is so brilliant, because she has so much in her eyes where, like, you can tell she doesn't want to fucking do that. She's not excited to have sex with this guy, but she's good at pretending. I mean, that's her fucking job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
When Benny gets the turn on the other guy that's holding him there and knocks him out with the pan.
That was great.
Takes his gun and then comes and fucking blows Kris Kristofferson away.
So good.
She almost looks disappointed.
No, she does not.
Watch it again.
Watch it.
She is traumatized. That would be the word.
I feel like she was like, I was about to just fuck him. It was about to be fine. Just let me fuck him. Don't get us out of this that way. I'll just fuck everyone.
She's pissed.
I think that she's pissed at this is her life. I think it's a this is, oh my God, what is my life face? not a disappointed, yeah. Oh, I wish I could have fucked that rapist.
Yeah, no, not exactly, but I don't know. I was way more on like the Benny side of like, let's just like kill these guys and get out of here. I feel like she was like, no one has to get hurt. Let's like, I'll just do this and everyone can move on.
And I mean, when you're a woman in this world, I mean, that's the only power you have, right? I mean, at least that's sure. The way that it's presented itself, where it's like, sure, men solve their problems with guns and violence, but what do women, I mean, she didn't have a chance. She's not going to put up a fight. The only way that she can take power from them is to take sexual power and actually say, okay, yeah. Let's do it. Now I have the power here instead of submitting. So it's definitely a strange scene. I agree. And I was excited to talk about it with you guys because it's one of the strangest almost rape scenes ever put to film. And it has nothing to do with anything in the rest of the movie. Those guys never, they don't have anything to do. It's just a weird vignette that just happens. It's kind of a foreshadowing of like, you guys shouldn't be doing this, you know? Like, what are you doing? Things are only going to get worse. But yeah, they've also been being followed the whole time. But basically, we can jump to like, they get to Alfredo Garcia. They get to the town where he's at.
They're like having the funeral.
Where they're having the
Yeah, the mom's like, I want you guys to leave, actually. Like, the mom of Alfredo Garcia is like,
she's so
can
sketched.
You guys leave?
She's so sketched out. Just imagine, like, they just show up. They're like, hey, what the fuck?
Bad vibe.
Yeah. They're just like.
It shows up with a giant sword.
Yeah. I knew Alfredo. He was a dear friend.
I know. I love it. And she's like, also, I love that Benny, like, he should be able to speak Spanish. He speaks some Spanish, but in that scene, he's like, what the fuck is she saying? What is she saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, salte estos gringos.
A lot of gringo in this.
Yeah.
I took offense.
I mean, they're in Mexico. Yeah. They're in Mexico. War notes in Mexico.
You got war notes in Mexico. Who I feel like war notes is like not the gringoest gringo. Looks,
yeah, he's not yeah. like, yeah.
Like, looks like he could be Spanish.
Yeah, exactly. He kind of does. Yeah. But yeah, this is, they get the machete. They go to get the head, and he does. He gets Alfredo. He starts to chop it
at night.
At night, he's digging the grave.
Later, after the funeral,
not during the funeral.
Yeah,
no.
He's like, excuse me.
Starts digging. They're like, ay, Dios santo.
No.
Back.
This is where the movie like really picked up for me.
Yeah, for sure. Because they've arrived at their destination. He goes at night. And what'd you guys think about this scene? I thought it was so good. Because he's digging the grave. Mm. And he realizes it's going to take a while. And fucking... But before he even starts digging, Isela Vega is like, what the fuck? Like, you're just going to dig up some man's body? Like, that's so, you know... desecration or whatever. And he's like, there's nothing sacred about a hole in the ground or anyone that's in it or you or me. And it's just like, man. We're getting this head and we're getting our fucking money and that's it, you know.
Yeah,
there's it's so nihilistic
about it.
So nihilistic. Yeah, there's nothing sacred about anything.
I so expected it to not be his body or something like that. Like for the wrong, but for Alfredo Garcia to like be alive,
right?
And like they had like put a different body there or something, like, or his head was already missing.
That would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. He faked his own death,
but instead, something even more unexpected happens.
Yeah,
he gets knocked the fuck out. Girl gets murdered, and he gets buried alive. What the fuck? And it all happens off screen too. Like he just gets knocked out, and then he wakes up. In the grave with Alita's body next to him. That is the most gutting scene.
I'm sorry. He must have been like it's a shallow grave that they throw him in.
Yeah.
But like it must have been real shallow. Like they must have like made it so his mouth like was able to get some air or something. Like
right.
Because he's like knocked out and he wakes up and like crawls out of this grave.
I know. I don't understand why they didn't. If they like made sure she was dead, why they didn't just make sure he was dead?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, They like to play games, these fucking mercenaries.
Yeah. And it's not even the two bounty hunters that the two gay guys, it's these other guys. We were watching it last night and we kept referring to one of them as Mexican Jim Belushi because he kind of looked like Mexican Jim Belushi a little bit. Yeah. Leo kept going, is this the Mexican Blues Brothers?
Nice.
And then so...
Yeah, Alita's dead.
Alita's dead. The head is gone. Benny's got nothing to lose now. I mean, now it's like... Now he's pissed.
He gets like...
Now it's revenge.
He gets clued off that it was a green station wagon.
Yeah, because he gets those guys in the town. He like pulls a gun on them and shit. He just starts going nuts, dude. And from here out to the end, he's fucking insane. It's so good.
I did feel like the whole like him being buried, like... I felt like it was like he, like that version of him was like dead now.
Yes. Bravo, yeah. Mark. That was beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
That part of him died and he was reborn as like a spirit of vengeance.
Fucking psycho.
Yeah, like angel of death, basically. I mean, he wears that white suit and he's just out for blood at that point. And he will not stop until he's just dead. Because now he's really, really got nothing to lose and doesn't give a fuck. And you start to question his motivations at this point. You're like, what? Like, why? What are you doing?
Well, his love has been taken away. I feel like it's more about like Alita than anything at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's not even about the money. It's like, now I just got to go out, guns blazing, kills those guys.
Yeah.
Right? There's like he like pulls up in the car, just kills him.
Yeah,
but they have like a flat tire or
action
something.
Action slide.
Oh, it's so good. It's the first like...
Yeah, no. Yeah. I love this.
That's the first like little set piece of the movie. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Just kills everyone. He's a really good shot, too. I guess he's ex-army, too. There's like one throwaway line where he's like, I shot people in the army. And they're like, okay. Mm. All right. Benny. And then we get to, it's basically, I can just summarize it as saying, it's a series of set pieces of him killing everyone.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Until he gets the head, brings it back to the jefe, and kills everyone again.
Yeah.
Until he himself is dead. And we can kind of go back if like there's any, you know.
I mean, I just love that prop of the head with all the flies.
Oh.
So many flies.
So
like he goes to like that town to get like he gets ice to put the head on ice and like.
Oh, I love like, that, dude.
Senor, there's flies.
What's in the bag?
A dead cat.
Yeah, and everyone can like smell that shit. I'm sure like. Like when he pulls that out of the car, like everyone's like looking over him, like even if they didn't see him, they know that there's something fucking disgusting around them.
Yeah, and he looks fucking disgusting at this point. Like it's worth mentioning, like his suit is filthy. Like it's
He looks like he was buried alive.
Yeah, he looks like he's buried alive. Exactly.
Literally. Literally, mate.
Literally buried alive. Yeah, I love that. And I love that he starts talking to Al. And Al becomes, like, the other part of himself that he gets to, like, talk to. Because I feel like there is a whole parallel between him and Al, and Alfredo Garcia. I mean, they both love the same woman. He keeps, like, relating to Al in, like, this weird way, even though we never get to, like, know him.
Have a drink!
Yeah! Oh, my God, dude. I mean, that... Come on, bro. Yeah. Warren Oates, like, you can't mess with that.
I love when the mom comes back, like Alfredo Garcia's mom with like that whole posse comes back to claim the head.
Oh my God. That's the
best.
And
then like the mercenary hitmen or whatever guys show up that hired him initially. And they're showing him a map. They're like, cause they're like acting like they don't know him.
Dude, this is the best scene.
Yeah. What does he say though? He says something so clever. He's like,
where's the switch over or some shit like that?
Right.
It's something like to do with like the head or like a cut or something.
He's like acting like he's fucking up.
He says like, where's the cut over? And he's like, it's right here. You're going to have to do it here. You're going to have to do it now. Yeah. And he's like, all right.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to.
And that's when you see.
We're just going to have to go straight.
Big young fucking.
Unload.
Also, this is a really good one.
See, we left here. We're trying to get to there. Now, where's the cutoff?
It's right here. Have to take it.
Oh. Well, we're going to have to take it. I see. I see. Well, thank you very much. Gracias. Well, we found it. It's right here. We're going to have to make our move now.
Also, I love that even before they show up, the way the whole scene gets interrupted, because they've got him dead to rights, a tour bus just passes by.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
I love that.
And they're just like, hi.
Nothing's going on here. Like, hide my rifle behind my back.
Yo, it's so good, dude. That's...
Yeah, it is perfect.
It's so, like, surreal and funny and just, like, perfect. It's, like, a random act of God.
Yeah, like, in a fucking, like, standoff of a scene, and, like, just, like, throw in, like, a weird fucking comedy. Yeah.
And it prop. Saves him. It saves him.
Yeah.
And it's like, even one of the guys, like, pats on the bus. He's like, see you guys. Dun, ding. Yeah. They're like, all right, nah, nothing here. We're just going to murder this motherfucker as soon as you guys are out. And then fucking, yeah, on cue, the gay boys show up. And as soon as he comes out, he's got his jacket half on, and you're just like, you know he's got a Tommy gun under there or something.
Yeah, right. But I love when, like, because everyone dies except for, like, one guy on the one side, and, like, Gig Young dies, the guy that was, like, blowing everyone away.
Yeah, and the other guy's pissed.
And then,
pissed.
Like, his boy. Yeah, yeah. And Warren Oates is just like, do I get paid now? And then he's like, yeah, you get paid now, like reaching for his gun.
Yeah.
And then you get a little like shoot off. Yeah.
I love that.
Little standoff moment.
Well, I think that's so good. That's a perfect like thematic thing for the movie where it's like, it starts out about money, but it ends up about vengeance. And even with those guys who like they're bounty hunters, it's all about the money. They showed up to save him. Because they know that he found the head. But as soon as his boy got killed, he's like, fuck you, I'm killing you. You know, like...
Yeah.
Like, vengeance always trumps money in this world.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going down with the ship.
Yeah, exactly. And and that men are suicidal and that they will die by their codes. It's the same theme from Wild Bunch, right? It's like, I'll die for my code. Like, my own twisted-ass code.
These guys seem so professional, but, like, emotion can still just trump that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Well,
when your lover's dead in your arms, Mark,
yeah.
You're gonna lose your mind.
Yeah, and then I love it. Then Benny's just like, fuck it, like, we're going, taking out that whole operation.
Dude.
Like, he gets into it, and he's like, yeah, here it is in a basket.
Oh, it's so good.
And then he's like, all right, actually, no, I'm killing all you. The one guy's like, here's the guy that will pay.
Yeah. It's like, what an idiot. This guy's blasting everybody, and you reach into your coat pocket? No. Wrong move, buddy.
No. I love him.
Just kills everyone there. Just goes straight to the head of the dragon.
Yep. I love the way he pulls up to, and they're like, who the fuck are you? And he's like, tell him Alfredo Garcia's here.
At the gate.
Yeah. And then that, it's full circle. I mean, it's the perfect full circle hero's journey. You know, he has to go back, and it's like the daughter telling him to kill her dad.
I don't know. This part, I was so conflicted. I was like, dude, just take that fucking money. You've got your revenge.
I know.
Like,
nah.
At this point, he's cannot be saved, right?
Yeah. Like he really just does not give a fuck. He's like, I basically already died. I'm just here to like get as much revenge as possible before I actually die.
Exactly. Because like his soul died that night in the grave.
Yeah.
And from then on out, he's just been a vessel.
16 people have died. Like, he had the exact number. Like
16 people died because of you.
Yeah, because he almost makes it out of there with the money still.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
He almost
all
does.
These people, it's like him versus like a million stormtroopers.
Yeah, he's eventually a really big shot.
But yeah, no, it took a little while.
Yeah, what do you think about that ending, Daniel? I feel like I've just been talking so much.
Yeah, no, like I can see, Mark, how you saying that. Just take the money, dude. But
yeah,
it's like a fucking $1 million.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, he was just too far gone, dude.
Yeah,
the fact that he did that rampage, he was already like, yeah, he got to that point because he was already just past the point of no return.
Yeah,
he's like talking to a head and stuff at this point.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, he's like in that when he like rents that room and he's just like talking to him the whole time.
Yeah.
Like the night before he goes out there.
Yeah, crying, puts his head in the shower. Yeah.
Yeah,
right. He's like, oh, a girl once tried to use that shower. I think you knew her too. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of me still wanted him to live a little.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, I definitely want him to live. Yeah, I love Benny, but yeah, he had to die, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, Benny's let's talk about Benny. Because I feel like he's such a good character, but he's so unlikable at the same time. I feel like this type of character in the 1970s was very common. Like a anti-hero. I mean, there's a name for it. Anti-hero. It's just someone that you
it's
don't.
It's just like a guy who's, I don't know. He's found himself in this like kind of like lower echelon of just like society.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He didn't seem like a bad guy.
I mean.
Yeah, right.
He makes a lot of bad decisions.
I don't, like, it but like, if you're that down bad and you need money, like, it's like there are so many people that would do the same exact thing that he did.
Right.
Maybe like at least like the starting portion, like, yeah, like I'll try to go get. I don't know. I guess maybe not. Honestly, like I have to go get a head of someone. I mean, maybe once you realize it's a dead guy.
I gotta go chop off
a. It is a little bit out there.
I feel like people often credit Dirty Harry with being the first big anti-hero. And from then on out, everything changed. I think Dirty Harry was around the same time, right? Or 71, maybe?
Yeah. I've never seen Dirty Harry.
You've never seen Dirty Harry?
Yeah. I've seen Bruce Almighty.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Wait, he references
where he does the impression.
Do I feel lucky?
44 Magnum, world's most powerful handgun. Yeah.
You gotta ask yourself one question.
Do I feel lucky?
Well, do ya? Punk. That scene actually in Dirty Harry happens like 10 minutes into the movie, and it's him eating a hot dog and brutally killing these like guys that are robbing a convenience store, like completely unnecessarily. And that just...
Is he just like a vigilante?
No, he's a cop.
Yeah, no, he's an actual cop. Wow.
He's a trigger... Yeah, he's an unethical, trigger-happy cop. And he basically started that whole trend of like unethical, trigger-happy cops who play by their own rules.
Man.
And the anti-hero. Loose
cannon, if you will.
And I feel like the anti-hero, the Vengeance movie was a big thing in the 70s. I mean, this Taxi Driver. There's so many. I mean, up until now, I feel like the anti-hero... is still around, maybe not as prevalent, but you know, John Rambo, fucking Mad Max, even to a degree, and Scarface. It's like where the main character is morally maybe not righteous, but you understand why they're doing the decisions that they're making within the world that is being built and presented to you.
Yeah,
and I feel like
you're saying this is like pretty new for this time.
I think so. I mean, this was 1974. You know, Dirty Harry's 3 years before. I mean, I guess Sam Peckinpah, really, with Wild Bunch, was 67. I mean, that's his whole thing, is like loving awful people. But yeah.
Deadpool, Breaking Bad.
Yeah, completely. Breaking Bad, classic anti-hero. I love anti-heroes. And yeah, and I love Benny, and I love this film. But what an amazing ending.
Yeah, you want to? Well, I'll go ahead and I'll climb up.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to use just my hands, like I'm rock climbing.
Cool.
you know, he's people gay. Don't use feet in rock climbing. Did you guys know that?
They wow. do. Usually they
don't use feet at all.
most rock climbers don't even have feet.
That's not true. Okay. That makes sense.
That's not true.
But they don't use their feet.
I don't think that's true at all.
But so when I rock climb all the way up to the crow's nest and I activate my super eyes, I actually see I see the fucking green station wagon scene.
Ooh. I'm gonna nail you. Somewhere I'm gonna nail you. You're up there. You're up there, you son of a... I'm gonna find you.
Cause that really like set it off for me.
Yes.
That was like when I was like, it really felt like Wild Bunch, like shootout scene or something like that.
Fuck yeah.
Like, I don't know. I really liked all the quick cuts and stuff, like the way that they're able to do those effects
so good.
Back then is by doing the quick cuts and shit.
Yes.
But yeah, like he fucking like drifts into him and yeah. The shootout is just fucking epic, and I was just ready from then on. I was just had a hard on the whole time.
I know. Ooh. Me too, dude. From that scene on, seriously, I'm just like, oh, swing.
Swingers.
I love it. I mean, it can't really be overstated, but the brilliance of his filming and editing action is still, I feel like we're still catching up to that. Like, the way that he would cut between slow motion and not. It's just so brilliant. I mean, we talked about it in Wild Bunch, but John Woo took this to the next level, obviously.
Yeah.
I think he's the only one, really, who has ever taken that aesthetic to the next level. And, I mean, no one can top Woo. So,
Jumble film.
Two of the greats.
I use my hands and feet and gallop up the stairway like a fucking horse. And I look through that keyhole. And you know what I see? I see all that booty.
Booty.
And I see the exact fucking thing Mark sees. Because it's awesome. And it has my favorite quote from the movie.
Which is?
Which, when he like keeps shooting that guy, and it's like he's reading our mind. Because you're like, why? Why do you keep shooting him? And he's just like, why? Because it feels so goddamn good. And I was like, oh,
yes.
Why? Because it feels so goddamn good.
Yeah, no, that was that. When he said that, that's when I went showing.
I feel like you just hit on a great point, which is that Peckinpah really sees violence as a form of catharsis. It's like a out of body where you're like, oh, yes. And the character just saying that is just, that's the perfect line.
I'm telling you, you read my mind.
Oh, man.
Well, was that was at the green station wagon scene with the two guys, or that was at the, okay.
Yeah, the last
guy. I don't remember any lines.
He just like kept unloading on him, and then he just said that. And I was like, wait.
Okay.
Oh, what? Was he talking to somebody? Yeah, he's talking to me.
Nice.
Yeah, he's talking to me. Is he talking to you? Is he talking
I think
to
at that point, my mind had already blown. Yeah. So I didn't even like hear anything.
Yeah, right. All you hear was. It's like the scene in the movie when a gun goes off next to a character. And That was Mark for the whole last 30 minutes. Yeah, no. Every film is a voyage, and every voyage has its best part, its peak, if you will. Traditionally, that's when the captain lays down and gets the captain's blowjob.
Or the blowjob.
Or the captain's clitoral stimulation. There's so many scenes in this movie that I would pick for the CB, but I'm shocked that you guys didn't pick it, but it's the next sequence right after this, which is the gay boys, the standoff, the bus coming by. That scene, dude, it gets me every time I watch it. I'm just like, it's so brilliant. Like how, just the twists and the turns, and then,
yeah,
oh man.
Johnny? I get paid. Yeah, you get paid. Oh! Hey, Johnny.
And the Tommy gun, dude, yeah. Come on.
That's so good.
It's so good, dude. And you really think he's fucked at this point, too. You're like, how the fuck are you getting out of this one, Benny? And you're like, oh, fuck these guys. You almost forget about those guys, too, by that point in the movie.
Yeah, because you haven't seen guys. Them for half an hour.
And you're yeah, like, wow, they take up so much space in the beginning, and then... Then they just randomly show back up, and you're like, oh, fuck, these fucking demons. Forgot about these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just, like, there's, like, four scenes in a row that, like, could be the best, your favorite scene, like, at the end there.
I know.
I think that scene is the best scene, but I just, it's the way that it hit me, that green station wagon scene,
it's so
really, like, lifted me up off my feet.
He's just, like, swerving on the road, like... Stop, stop. And he's like, oh, stop. And like power yeah, slides into them.
Coming from so far away. But your scene, it's got the comedic hits. It's got, like, you bring back those guys from the beginning that hired him.
Yeah.
You get closure on that.
It's like, so good. That is
the best scene.
Right? I really do think so.
Yeah.
Because
it's like those two together, though, are just like, oof.
I know.
God damn.
Dude.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. The first time I watched this movie, I was just like, is it, can it get better? And it does. It just keeps getting, you know what I mean? Like, you see the first one, you're like, oh my God, this is like the best climax. And you're like, another climax? Another one? So the end, he just, also, we have to talk about cold ending, like one of the best cold endings ever.
Just he just dies.
Just dies
well, and
credits.
Well, it's like just a close, oh, what, I thought. Nah.
What is it, a close-up?
Was it like a gun shooting?
Yeah.
It's like the Godfather.
Yeah, it's like a Tommy gun shooting, and then it's just like black screen. And I was like, oh my God, okay.
Yeah. It's like when Sonny gets killed in The Godfather.
Yeah.
Yes, it is like kind of when Sonny gets killed. But like even less romantic. Like I feel like they really play up Sonny's death. Like you watch him die for a while.
Yeah.
This one, it's like, yeah, Alfredo's dead. But- movie's over. Or Benny's dead.
Yeah, like, at least Benny's Sonny, dead. Doesn't he like get out of the car and he's just like,
ah, yeah.
Still just getting shot. Just like,
yeah. It's so ridiculous. That's a heartbreaking death in The Godfather. But I will say, too,
it's got me talking about Sonny.
That is my favorite scene. A close second is the one with him and the girl in the tree. And then the best quote, which we didn't even... Mark doesn't like that. Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How many blowjobs are you getting here, buddy?
I ask myself that all the time.
Oh. So I mean, Benny definitely carries.
Benny definitely carries.
Oh, yeah.
Who
steals?
I have... something that hasn't been brought up at all as potential thief. The Impala. The Impala kills it in this movie. It looks so good. The way he frames that thing, it looks nice.
It's so good. I feel like...
I like that Impala.
Me too, dude. Me too.
Nice.
One of the best parts about 70s movies is just looking at all the 70s cars.
Yeah.
I feel like every 70s filmmaker just fetishized cars. Yeah, that Impala is fucking good. That red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I did. That was another nit that I had to pick about him driving around with the head.
Yeah.
Why are you going to close it up? You've been driving top down the whole time. Now you're going to close it up with you and all the million flies.
Yeah. Not a lot that he does makes sense. I mean, he wears sunglasses at night, but then takes them off during the day.
Yeah, he doesn't. He like never takes them off. He literally slept in those sunglasses.
Yeah, but when they have that tender moment by the tree, no sunglasses.
Oh God,
no sunglasses because he's being vulnerable. But for the most of the movie,
the moment by the tree, doggy.
The moment by the tree. I can't. I don't think you could not give it to Isela Vega. I mean, I'm not against giving it to a car, but. To me, the movie is completely stolen by Celebration.
When are you guys going to let me give it to an inanimate object?
it's either the only woman character in the movie or a car. Let's see what we decide here.
I mean, Kris Kristofferson does come in for like 2 minutes and hits like 4 threes.
He does. Hits
that's
four
what we
threes.
Paid him for.
I mean, to me, it's Isela or it's Gig Young, dude.
I mean, I'd rather give it to Gig Young.
Than Isela Vega? No way! Dude, when she's singing those songs in the car, playing
right,
the guitar.
Daniel,
you're
the deciding vote, I think.
Hmm? Daniel?
Who?
Car, woman, Gig Young.
I love the no name woman.
Car, woman, Gig Young. That's definitely the name of my new album. Car, woman, Gig Young.
Gig
by
Young.
Joshua
you
Lambert.
Decide. If I'm gonna say someone stole it, every scene they were in, I mean, it's got to be Gig Young.
Thank you.
You giving it to Gig Young?
It's got to be Gig Young.
All right,
give
I'm
it
fine
to Gig.
With that. Sexist nice. Motherfuckers. No I'm kidding.
I love it.
Gig Young is amazing in this. His face says it all.
I think we did what was right.
Such a serious decision that needed to be made.
All right. All right, boys.
What's next?
We're remaking the movie today. Who we got starring? Who can we trust to make this movie?
Do you guys have anything loaded up?
I mean, for director, I feel like obvious choice is Quentin Tarantino.
That is the obvious choice, right? Even though he doesn't like this movie. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Isn't that surprising?
I have heard him talk about Sam Peckinpah and like that he only really likes like Wild Bunch and Straw Dogs.
And like Junior Bonner and The Getaway.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh is so pissed.
No, he said on his...
But like he also says that like Sam Peckinpah is like one like his like ideal like kind of like character as like a human.
Sam Peckinpah?
Yeah, it seemed like Quentin Tarantino like loves Sam Peckinpah,
yeah.
But he only like likes like several of his movies like
right.
on like that like really high level.
I know. I feel like Tarantino gets really intense about the movies he loves, but I mean, whatever. Yeah, he's super opinionated, and I guess he doesn't really like this one. But he really loves The Getaway, Junior Bonner, Wild Bunch, and
Junior Bonner. Just when you say it like that, it just sounds weird.
Junior Bonner. I've never seen that one. It's about like Steve McQueen being like a rodeo guy. I don't know. It seems lovely, but I've never seen it. And Straw Dogs.
Nice. I would watch it.
Yeah, I would watch it too. I want to get through all his movies. I think
maybe we'll do like a Sam Peckinpah month actually. Part two.
I would love that so much because you guys need to watch The Ballad of Cable Hogue. And we need to do Straw Dogs. And
The Getaway.
And The Getaway. And we could do Junior Bonner. And we could do his early stuff too. Ride the High Country is fucking amazing. It's like his first movie and it's like a low-key masterpiece.
Yeah, we'll find out if anything's as good as Osterman Weekend.
The Killer Elite. Yeah.
But what? I mean,
no,
I think that
is an obvious choice.
I honestly
choice,
could see like a. I could see like a John C. Reilly taking like the Warren Oates part too, honestly.
Oh my gosh, dude. That is so perfect. John C. Reilly? Are you fucking.
I tried to compare
me?
Them earlier and you shot it down.
Really? I don't remember that.
It makes sense to me.
John's, that's so perfect. That's insane. Can you imagine him just being like, I gotta go get this head. I don't know. Oh, well, geez, honey. I have a double bourbon with a champagne back. You didn't even mention that it has the best drink order ever put to film, dude. A double bourbon with a champagne back? And he follows it up and he's like, none of that fucking shit you got back there, now beat it. Oh, it's so good. I think Tarantino is an obvious choice. To me, S. Craig Zahler is an obvious choice because I know he's a big Peckinpah fan as well. And I feel like he would do it justice, like The Descent.
It'd probably be even more brutal. Yeah.
It would probably be even more brutal. To me, a dream kind of thing would be Zoller to do it, write it and direct it, John C. Reilly, and Roger Deakins. Roger Deakins gets to shoot it because I know he's a huge fan of this movie. And I mean, can you imagine this movie if it was actually shot by like an amazing DP who like gets it? You know what I mean? Because like the cinematography,
for sure,
it's perfect, but it's like it's so budget.
You know? It's almost like lucky.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like I guess it works. You know.
I guess they nailed it.
Yeah, I guess they nailed it. This wouldn't work in any other story, like this like aesthetic, but it works here. But I feel like if you had Deakins, who is such a like story first cinematographer,
I think maybe it's the Kris Kristofferson rapist character. You bring in Chris Pratt.
Ooh,
yes.
I like that.
That's the perfect like contemporary casting against type for like a random rapist cameo.
It's like, oh, like, you want to be in everything, right?
Chris Pratt. Oh my!
You can be my rapist.
Or who's, or like Channing Tatum or something.
Oh, that would be good.
You, like, it's got to be the most beautiful guy in your movie.
Yeah, it's got to be the most beautiful guy who's also.
I mean, we can just get an old Kris Kristofferson, and that would still work.
Or like Kurt Russell, if you want to make him old.
Ooh.
Or who's like a famous singer who wants desperately to have an acting career? Like, get him.
Get like Eddie Vedder.
Get like Usher. Just like Eddie Vedder. Usher. Who's Eddie Vedder?
The singer for Pearl Jam.
Oh. I don't know what he looks like off the top of my. Is he a beautiful man?
He's a good looking guy. Sure.
Yeah.
Is he trying to have an acting career? Daniel seemed offended.
He definitely he enjoys the camera.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good. Or get Taylor Swift, gender bent.
Speaking of singers that desperately want an acting career, you can get J-Lo to be the girl.
Oh, that'd be phenomenal. A little old, but I feel like it would work. I mean, yeah, definitely.
I mean, if it's with John C. Reilly, I mean.
You may as well.
That's true, yeah. Make the characters a little older. I mean, that's been Sam Peckinpah's thing his whole career is about, like, old people.
You know, hire the oldest people you can find.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. That's fucking good.
This movie's gonna kill.
Yeah, this movie's gonna fucking kill. I also think, like, I would be so happy if someone remade this, but I would also be like, you can't remake this. This is, like, it's too specific.
I mean, it's just also just like not well known enough to demand a remake.
Right. No, it's not.
But we're just playing a game, though.
No, I know.
We're just having fun, y'all.
But I feel like a lot of the movies with this game, I'm legit like, I would love to see that. And I would love to see this one, too. A lot of I'm legit like, whoa. Yeah. That's a good one. And this one, too, obviously. But I'm like, this movie, though, it's like lightning in a bottle, you know? It's just like, no. How do you remake it? It wouldn't make sense.
All right, well, let's get into the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Alrighty.
Josh, you picked it, so
I did.
Lead us off.
All right. Bring me the head of Alfredo.
I don't think you liked it.
It's a huge, hugely, gigantically thumbs up for me. This is my movie. It just speaks to me on so many levels. Josh Olson, the screenwriter of A History of Violence, has a little series called Trailers from Hell where he talks about like old movies. He says this movie is like a hangover, but in the best way possible. That's like, it's the perfect way to describe it for me. It's just, it's hazy. It's like hallucinogenic. It's violent. It's uncompromising. It's masculine. It's also very tender. And there's like a beautiful love story. It's also a revenge movie. It's also kind of like Treasure of the Sierra Madre and like a parable about greed. It's got so much bottled up into it. Warren Oates, the best Warren Oates performance ever. Yeah, I mean, a neo-Western. You know, I love neo-Westerns. I feel like this kind of kicked off the neo-Western. Yeah, it's so fucking good. I wish more people would watch it. I wish there were more movies like it, too. It's such a tough one to put your finger on. But yeah, for some reason, this movie just like really, really speaks to me every time I watch it. And I'm always watching it and kind of discovering new things, too. It's such a richly detailed film that really you can just get sucked into all the world details and the richness of it. I love how Peckinpah portrays Mexico in this. It looks like the worst place in the world, but also the best place in the world somehow at the same time. Like you see it and you're like, oh, this is brutal. But then you're like, I want to go to Mexico and like hang out and drink and drive. And like,
I want to play ball with the kids. And
yeah.
The
like what?
There's like,
it's the type of lawlessness. And yeah, I love this movie. It's brutal, bloody, sweaty, pulpy. It's ridiculous. It's got the most ridiculous plot ever. You're looking for a dead guy's head? Like what? And yeah, it's just incredible. Yeah, huge thumbs up.
Nice. Well, I will admit, and I think, yeah, we kind of talked about it, that first part of this movie, I was kind of like, all right, what did old Jashy Boy get me into?
It's
is this what I want?
A lot of women getting hit in the face.
But, I mean, once it took its turn, once it picked up and the rampage started, oh, buddy, I was in for the ride. So I'll give it a thumbs up. Give it a thumbs up.
It's a soft, soft up.
Yeah, you know.
You're doing the high.
I didn't love it, but you know, I liked it. It was. I enjoyed watching it.
I'll take it.
It was good.
Nice. You know?
Just like, yeah, like, especially what you said about Mexico. Like, right. I liked how, yeah, like as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, you know, like actually, yeah.
Right.
Like all the scenery was not. Yeah, like
the scenery is beautiful.
It was just, It was a good watch.
It's crazy. So, yeah. It gets better the more you watch it.
I'll give it like a thumb, uh-huh. Like halfway up my ass. Not completely up my ass.
Okay. But it made it to the ass, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's in there.
Jesus.
Whenever you make it to the ass, you know. But yeah, so I, a little bit of what Daniel was saying, like I liked like the first like 20 minutes. And then it did fall off a bit for me. I was like, all right, are we going to get back on track here? Is this just going to be some like road trip movie with this lady? And then it got fucking crazy and awesome.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, like the last 40 minutes definitely like did some heavy lifting for me. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a thumbs up. 100%.
Fuck yeah.
I appreciate like a lot of what he's doing too, like when how he is kind of like sticking it to the system. Like once I like learned more about like what was happening like behind the scenes with Sam Peckinpah, I like appreciated it even more.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, I really did enjoy it. I it's up there with Osterman Weekend. Seriously. I mean, it's like way up there.
Osterman Weekend's Mark's favorite.
No, just kidding. But it's probably like my second favorite I've seen after Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
Like as far as Peckinpah.
Yeah.
And I've only seen a handful, but.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it just continues my love for Peckinpah. Oh. So yeah, go ahead and sweep that baby.
And bring out the brooms.
Bring them out. And while you're at it, bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia.
Oh! Ah.
So it's Josh's pick for the next category of what we're going to be picking for. And so, Josh, if you would, go ahead and let us know what we're going to be deciding based on.
Thank you, Mark. We're going to go with, yeah, queer month, gay month, LGBTQIA plus month. We're doing gay movies.
We're doing gay movies.
So I do have to say ahead of time, we haven't mentioned it, but Anthony let us know that he had called off work today, and I think he thinks this is his job, so he's not coming in. He's not here.
Oh, right. See, that makes more sense. He's like, hey, I already called out, so why the fuck are you guys bothering me about it?
I scheduled the day off.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man, sorry, I didn't realize that this is your job.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's between us three. Here we go.
Here we go.
Daniel the Manual.
Oh, yeah, baby. I already know what I'm picking.
Can we start calling him Daniel the Manual? That's good.
Can we do that?
You already know what you're picking?
Yeah, bro. As soon as you said Gay Month, I knew exactly what I was picking, before we even started recording this episode.
No way. Is it Birdcage?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
it
really?
Is the best and gayest movie I know.
It's Doubtfire.
The Birdcage.
Oh! I called it. I don't know why.
But it's all right.
You had Birdcage in your eyes.
I mean, I love that movie.
I do love that movie.
I watch that movie a lot.
I've seen that movie, but I think I've seen it in the background.
Oh, it's so Nathan Lane.
Oh,
Robin Williams. Get out of here. Hank Azaria.
Oh.
Yeah, Hank Azaria. Yeah, here, let's go.
What's his name? Gene Kelly.
Gene Hackman, okay. Right? Or no?
Gene Hackman, not Gene Kelly.
Gene Hackman, dude.
Gene Hacks. And Diane Wiest? Come on, guys. Let's go. Let's go.
Soar through the sky where we eagles ascend. Vision so keen, we pounce and defend. They run and they hide. I swoop and I dive. No American flag. Bitch, I thought you had pride. Bitch, I thought you had pride. Quick to take your fucking life. With my powerful wings. Talk shit, then I slide. You lack backbone, pussy. Fuck you up with my feet. No man left standing. Finish you off with my beat. Having a blast, fucking up on your ass. Sorry for the dine and dash.